Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. Joining me, as always, is Billboard.com senior editor Katie Atkinson.
That's me.
That's you.
Hello, Keith.
Getting excited for Thanksgiving?
Oh, my goodness. Love Thanksgiving. I'm very excited.
It's Thanksgiving in America this week. Are you cooking? It's a big cooking holiday here in the U.S.
Yeah, we actually have a pretty small crew coming to the house, but I'm still cooking like the full spread as if like 20 people were coming over.
But are there other people that are at least helping with dishes?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We have a very potluck situation. But
oh, good. But you're still in charge of the turkey.
Husband's in charge of the turkey.
Okay.
I'm in charge of like 10 dishes that I assign myself, and then everybody else does other
because
things.
Because you like it easy, you know. The Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop and turkey on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the week's big pop news, fun chart stats and stories, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. This week on the show, we've got an interview with the one and only Sarah McLachlan. The singer and songwriter called in to chat about her new holiday album, Wonderland, and how she'll be performing on the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
It's a Thanksgiving show!
Thanksgiving show! So stick around for that later on. Plus, we've got a chart chat about a new number one album on the Billboard 200 Albums chart from A Tribe Called Quest, and how Metallica, Bruno Mars, and Miranda Lambert are all headed for the top of the chart next week. And could Side to Side become the first number one single for both Ariana Grande and Nicki Minaj on the Billboard Hot 100?
Maybe.
We shall see. So stay tuned for all that later on. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, why don't you subscribe to us? Why don't you? Just go to iTunes.
Just do it.
Click the button. It's easy.
So easy.
It's so easy to subscribe to podcasts. It's so easy. Okay. And you can like give us a rating. You can give us a review. You know, tell us what you think. You could tweet us. You know, I'm Keith_Caulfield and she's KT Atkinson. And, you know, if you want to like find out about more of the podcasts that Billboard does, you can go to iTunes.com/Billboard Podcast.
So many options.
See how I switched that up?
Yes.
I really changed it up this week.
It's very spontaneous.
It's very spontaneous. I'm just flipping the script. So let's talk about the Billboard 200. We talked about it last week, how A Tribe Called Quest was headed for number one. And indeed, they did it. A Tribe Called Quest debuts at number one on the Billboard 200 chart, and it's their first number one album in more than 20 years. The new album, which is called We Got It From Here, Thank You For Your Service, starts at number one with 134,000 equivalent album units earned in the week ending November 17th, according to Nielsen Music. Of that sum, 112,000 were in traditional album sales. The last time A Tribe Called Quest was number one, way back in August of 1996, when Beats, Rhymes, and Life spent 1 week at number one. Now, would you believe, well, it's probably actually kind of easy to believe, that is the longest gap between number ones for a hip-hop act. in the history of the chart.
Well, I would believe that.
Yeah.
Because hip-hop is a young genre.
Yes, exactly.
In general, and it's kind of a young man's game in general.
Exactly.
As well.
You don't find many rappers over, say, the age of, you know, 30.
Yeah.
It's, you know...
Jay-Z's still just rocking it, though.
Jay-Z defies... Jay-Z to me is the equivalent of, like, you know, he is going to be like a George Strait of rap. Well, no, there's certain...
No one has ever said that before. That's why it's great. I love it.
Well, George Strait is still, like, you know, getting hits and huge albums.
Yes.
And he's been around since the
just
early 80s.
Consistent.
He's like, well, he's like, George is the king of country.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Jay-Z is, like, the king of hip-hop.
Right.
And he has been the king of hip-hop for an incredibly long time. Mm-hmm. He's just, he, like, there's the rest of hip-hop, and then there's Jay-Z, mm-hmm. like, sort of in his own, like...
League.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, certain artists defy the... general odds of,
yeah.
you know, age limitations,
yes.
in the genre, and that's Jay-Z. But yeah, I mean, hip-hop, I mean, also this album has a lot of unique circumstances around it.
Mm-hmm.
One of Tribe Called Quest members, Five Dog, passed away earlier this year. This album, as Katie pointed out last week on the show, was cobbled together from existing Five Dog raps, as well as some new material that they had been working on together for a little while.
It also features some new people. It features Kendrick Lamar, Busta Rhymes, so there's some, like, you know, notable guests on there as well.
And it came out, you know, at a very sort of turbulent time in our culture.
And it directly addresses it, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, all
and
those
SNL.
Things. And SNL.
Yeah.
They performed on SNL the week after the election. By the way, did you hear about the election?
Oh.
I don't know if you heard.
I didn't hear the results yet.
You haven't?
I haven't. No spoilers.
No spoilers. I won't tell you. Boy, it's exciting. some other fun stats about this. I wrote about this for my story on Sunday. The very first rap album to be number one was the Beastie Boys' License to Ill back in 1987, March of 1987. The 10th number one rap album was actually the Beastie Boys again, Ill Communication, in 1994. And the 20th hip-hop album to be number one was actually Beats, Rhyme, and Life.
Oh, wow.
By A Tribe Called Quest. Funny, like, in 1996, that was only our 20th rap album that had been number
one. Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Like, for the first couple years, it was, like, Beastie Boys and then Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Until we get to, like, Tone Loc.
Sure.
Yeah.
Funky Cold Medina.
Loked After Dark.
Loked.
Loked. MC Hammer and Vanilla Ice.
Please, Hammer, don't hurt him.
Yeah. To the extreme. I rock a mic like a vandal. Light up the stage. Watch up like a candle. Dance! Deadly! Anything less than a vessel. Yeah. Whoa, okay. We're going to stop that now. you might be wondering, what is the longest gap period between number one albums?
Well... Okay, so I remember...
And since you haven't actually read my story...
I actually don't know.
Yeah, you don't know.
But I do remember us doing a story when Nile Rodgers and Chic had a big gap. What was that one? That was earlier... Like, was that this year or last year?
Well, that might have been something else because Chic's never had a number one album.
Oh, okay. It must have been something different then.
This is just on the Billboard 200.
Okay, so...
I'll just tell you.
Yes, please do.
The longest gap between number ones among all acts, mm-hmm. living or dead...
Mm-hmm.
was actually Ray Charles. He spent, there was a 42-year wait between,
whoa.
Yeah, between Modern Sounds and Country and Western Music in 1962 and Genius Loves Company in 2005. The longest gap for living artists
mm-hmm.
Is actually 30 years and 6 months for Bob Dylan.
Okay.
Between Desire in 1976 and Modern Times in 2006.
Wow.
Yeah, this is what I spent some of my Sunday on, researching all these things.
Yeah, that's some serious research.
That was fun. next week on the Billboard 200, it's looking like we got three big albums that are all headed for big debuts. Three albums that really, truly, if they had come out in pretty much any other week, they all would have been number one. But since they all decided to go up against one another...
This always happens in November.
It's that time.
I remember last year it was One Direction versus Bieber.
Oh, man. That
was the
just...
same week. But it's just, it's a coveted week. It's going into that Thanksgiving shopping.
You're going into that corridor, where like the next like 3 or 4 weeks, where like these are going to be the busiest days or the busiest shopping days of the year where you're guaranteed sales.
Yeah.
And traditionally, like, just put out anything and it might sell.
Yeah.
So next week's number one album looks like, according to industry forecasters, will be Metallica's Hardwired to Self-Destruct. It's their first album in, oh my God, forever. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. It's their first studio album in a very long time. I don't know the number off the top of my head. It could earn around maybe 290 to 300,000 equivalent album units. And of that, 280 or 290 might be in pure sales. Bruno Mars's new album, 24 Karat Magic, might do around, say, 200-ish in total units. 200,000, by the way. Mm-hmm. And Miranda Lambert's new The Weight of These Wings. It's a double album, right, Katie?
Correct.
Yeah. Wings, because there's two wings, so it's two discs.
Yeah, probably not. I've only listened to it on streaming, so I haven't seen these wings in person.
It could do like around 140-ish thousand. All very good debuts.
Yeah.
And again, any other week, they could have had their own lane and been number one. But, you know.
This is what happens. This is
what happens. over on the Billboard Hot 100, Black Beatles by Ray Schreier is still number one. That's how you pronounce it,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. By a mile, I mean like about three country miles.
A mannequin challenge mile.
Yeah. It's no one, I mean, if the song could collapse, you know, rapidly, but I mean, it's so far ahead.
Yeah.
Like it's, but then again, who knows? We'll see. Yeah. The big exciting news actually is probably how Side to Side from Ariana Grande, featuring Nicki Minaj, jumps into the top five for the first time.
Yes.
It goes 7-4, I believe, mm-hmm. is the jump. It's up actually 10% in points. It's still quite a bit a ways from the top three.
Okay.
Let's be honest.
Is Chainsmokers Closer at number two.
And Starboy.
And Starboy at number three.
Like, Ray Schreier at number one is a really far away from two and three. And then two and three are about even.
Mm.
So that could flip next week. Starboy could go to number two. But Ariana and Nicki are still kind of a little bit away from two and
well,
three.
Well, the AMA performance can't hurt.
Yeah. By the way, Katie and I, as you guys heard last week, we were at the we were planning on being at the AMAs, and we were.
Mm-hmm.
We did not talk to Ariana or Nicki.
No. They, even though Ariana won Artist of the Year, she did not come back to take photos after that moment. So
no, unfortunately.
Poor Keith and Katie did not get to see her.
Nope, we didn't.
Not this year.
But the fact that Side to Side rises to a new peak, number four, it made us wonder, could this be, you know, perhaps the first number one for both Ariana and Nicki? Because surprisingly, neither of them have ever had a number one single on the Billboard Hot 100.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would assume that both of them did. And maybe even would assume that it was Bang Bang, the song that they were both on previously together.
Well, generally, the two of them together is magical.
Yes. I love them together. Like, love. I just think that they're sassy and amazing.
I think... Well, we talked about this before, and we...
Yes.
I think they actually are like sassy, fun friends.
Kindred spirits.
Yeah. And they're like the yin and the yang.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, like they work great together. And
yes.
It's like, it's just fun seeing them together.
I agree.
So who knows? Maybe this magic combination will finally lift them to number one. Ariana has had actually 8 top tens, including Side to Side. Her highest charting single is Problem, which reached number 2. And Nicki has had 13 top tens.
Wow.
And she's gone as high as number 2 with Anaconda.
Man, both stuck at number 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's really Anaconda. I mean, you really like, I forget what was in front of Anaconda, but man, that song was such a pop culture moment.
Yes. Especially with the video.
Yes. Elsewhere on the Billboard Hot 100, Leonard Cohen, the late Leonard Cohen, finally debuts his own original version of Hallelujah. At number 59, it's actually the 9th version of the song to chart. All the other previous versions were covers of Hallelujah, believe it or not. And the song only reaches the Hot 100 after Cohen's death on November 7th. However, it was not announced until November 10th. So it's nice to see Leonard Cohen on the Hot 100 finally.
Well,
with Hallelujah.
It happens to be that one of those covers is Pentatonix's cover of Hallelujah, which is currently on the Hot 100.
Yeah, it's actually higher than Leonard Cohen's own version, which is, oh, so ironic.
Yeah.
But that just proves to folks, like, sort of the power of
the enduring power of that song. Yeah. So Pentatonix is at 56
yeah.
on this week's Hot 100.
Pentatonix's version is actually from their new Christmas album, mm-hmm. which also happens to be number 2 on the Billboard 200 this week, by the way. And people meaning industry people, think that it
insiders
think that it has a decent shot at going to number 1 before the end of the year. We shall see. Dun, dun, dun.
So much is up in the air from this episode. Could it be number 1?
Could it be?
Might it be?
Oh my God, we like to ask questions. Well, let's move on to our guest interview with the fabulous Sarah McLachlan. The 3-time Grammy Award winner's new holiday album, which is her second holiday album, believe it or not. It's called Wonderland, and it's out now. She talks about her love of Christmas music in our little chat and how she got Emmylou Harris and Martha Wainwright to join her on the album.
Oh, I can only imagine those three voices all on one album.
Oh, it's heavenly. It sounds so great. Plus, we chat a bit about how she'll be performing on the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. I quiz her about if she gets to pick the float she'll be on and if she gets any fabulous swag afterwards. You might be surprised at her answers. I know I was. So here's our interview with Sarah McLachlan. Angels, we have heard.
Welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop podcast, Sarah McLachlan. How are you?
Thank you. I'm fantastic. Multitasking.
Yes.
Attempting to anyway.
people listening to this, they will not know the links that we went to make this conversation happen. So I really appreciate you taking a few minutes to make this work.
No problem.
Well, let's talk about the new album, Wonderland, which is your second holiday effort following 2006's Winter Song. I'm assuming you must be a pretty big fan of the holidays, because now you've done 2 Christmas albums, right?
I am a serious fan of Christmas. Yeah, it's my favorite time of year. I really, I get into it big time. I have an insane amount of decorations. My kids are really into it. We love singing carols. I have an open house every 24th, and all the stragglers and friends and family come around, and we have a big potluck, and we all sing Christmas carols, and for me, any opportunity to get out there and be merry and sing is great. And, you know, Christmas sort of, it inspires and encourages that behavior, which I love.
I'm guessing you're the type of person that actually starts playing Christmas music in October each year. Am I right?
Well, I start singing it. I don't necessarily start playing it. Funnily enough, I don't play a lot of music in my house. It's always in my head, so I'm always singing. And both my daughters now in particular, you know, they're hugely into music, and so there's always, you know, competing music happening in various rooms of the house, so it's a bit of a din, actually. But, you know, when I was growing up, it was always Harry Belafonte's Christmas record. I think it's 1972, and I remember, you know, I just have such great memories of sitting around the Christmas tree, and I would always take apart all the decorations, because my great aunt Ruth had made a whole bunch of little dolls for the tree. And so because my mom was a feminist, so I was not having dolls as a kid, but somehow the decorations were okay. So I got to play with those, and I would play with them for hours and build houses and villages. And so I have a lot of great memories of that.
Oh, wow. You know, when I was listening to the album, I really loved the cover of Go Tell It on the Mountain. And it was so fabulous to hear you with Emmylou Harris and Martha Wainwright on the track. You know, I think, well, one, I have a couple questions about this song. How did you get Emmylou and Martha on the track? I'm assuming that you're just friends with them, and you called them up and said, hey, you want to do this? And they said, sure, why not?
Pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, Martha was easier because she's in Montreal at the time, and she's good friends with Pierre, my producer. And so obviously when you're doing gang vocals and trying to get a bunch of different people to sing, it's like, okay, who's in town? Who can we call? Who's going to say yes? And Martha was there, and she was game, which was great. And Hackman and Run, where they ended up on 5 tracks. We did quite a bit of recording together. And they're a Montreal-based band, and they're just fantastic. And Andy and I go way back, 15, 20 years. So that was just really lovely to hear her voice. We've had the opportunity to sing together on a bunch of occasions, so it's nice to be able to do that.
And the song, you know, doesn't usually strike the average person as a holiday song. Does it mean something to you specifically as like a Christmassy song? Does it mean something more to you, you know, from your childhood or from your family?
No, you know, when putting together this record, the first one was challenging enough because even though I do love Christmas songs and I sing Christmas music all the time, how I would lend my voice to it and then create something new, because these songs have been done so many ways by so many artists, you know, that was a challenge. And it was even harder this time. And I wanted to not only do obvious Christmas songs, but choose some songs that weren't necessarily about Christmas, but more about the feeling of it or the spirituality of it. And I think Go Tell It on the Mountain here is more of a, it's a spiritual, right? So I think it just, it's in keeping with the same kind of vibe, but it also has its totally own thing. And I think, you know, it was like, oh, we can do gang vocals on this and have it almost a cappella, and that'll be so much fun. And I sort of, at that point, I think I forgot I was doing a Christmas record. I was just like, what's a great song to do? Wow, I get to cover anything I want, and this would be perfect. Same with Snow. I mean, that's not the Randy Newman song. That's not a Christmas song, but it's wonderfully depressing. And, you know, I say that lovingly and jokingly, but, you know, Christmas is a tough time for some people, and I think that there's such beauty in that sort of loneliness and sadness. The same way that, you know, Joni Mitchell's River, it really epitomized that. And, again, not a Christmas song, yet it has a reference to Christmas in it, and I just wanted to, you know, do a cross-section of music that wasn't such obvious choices, I guess.
Yeah. And I really like the coupling of Go Tell It on the Mountain in a way in a manger on the album where they're next to one another. And when I was listening to Away in a Manger, I was like, I feel very comforted. It felt very warm. And I was like, I really like this. This makes me feel good right now. I kind of need this right now. So,
oh, that's exactly what it's supposed to do.
Well,
good. Yay.
Yay. Well, I have to ask you about the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which is coming up here in a few days. Now, you've done the parade before, so I'm assuming this was an easy yes for you to say, you know, yes to in 2016, right?
Oh, you're kidding? Absolutely. I mean, we watch it every year, so it's like, I get to be in that? My kids are so excited. They're actually quite seen off at me that they don't actually get to come and watch it, but they're in school. I mean, it's, you know, it's American Thanksgiving, but we don't celebrate up here in Canada, so they're in school.
I was gonna ask, you know, as a Canadian, I'm like, well, you already have a Thanksgiving, which is a different kind of Thanksgiving. It's more of a harvest festival. Do you kind of celebrate both anyways, even though you're Canadian?
Absolutely. Any opportunity to have a turkey dinner.
I'm like, more pumpkin pie, as much as you can have.
More pumpkin pie, more stuffing, bring it on.
Do you get to pick the float that you're on, or do you have an opinion about it? Like, do you get to have any say whatsoever in which float you get to appear on? I've always been curious about that, truly.
Oh, you know what? I didn't even think about that. I was just told I was going to be in it, and that was enough for me.
You just show up. It's like, so
I'm
which
like,
float
I'll
am
show
I
up
on?
And just tell me, yeah, tell me where to stand, and I'll stand there. Yeah, you know what? That's actually a really interesting question. I probably should have figured that one out, but I know there's children. I know there's a children's choir that's going to be on it with me, which is really fun.
Oh, that'll be great. I mean, and,
yeah.
But you're not. And this, I swear, will be the last question about the parade. But it's one of those things where everyone watches it every year, and you always wonder, you know, all the stuff that goes into it. When we see you on TV, it's literally you're only on the float for like that 5 minutes. Like, you're not on it the entire duration of the parade, are you?
No, I think what they do is they you go to your corner, whatever street corner that you're going to be getting on your float, because of course they move quite slowly, and they put you on it, and they set you up, and go, okay, you're going to be on in about 3 minutes, so prepare yourself. And then I think, you know, when you go around the corner, oh, there's the TV cameras, and the song starts, and you start singing.
See?
And then 5 minutes later, yeah, you're basically pulled off the thing and put back into your car and set off to the next thing.
And then do you get to, like, have a fabulous reception inside Macy's and they give you, you know, a gift bag? Or is it just, like, literally, like, nope, we're stopping in for half an hour and we're getting the heck out of there.
Gosh,
to the next
that'd
thing.
Be nice. Yeah, no, I don't think there's any gift bag.
we should make that happen,
here's
Macy's.
Here's your damn gift bag, yeah.
Let's get on that.
Where's my Macy's Day card, yeah.
Yes, they can give you a gift card. That would be lovely.
Yeah.
How about that?
Wouldn't they? Yeah.
Well, I have never had the opportunity to speak to you until now, so this was such a delight because I've been a fan of yours for years and I've always enjoyed your music. And
well, thank you.
I hope people go and listen to your new album, Wonderland. And hopefully, I mean, are you going to do more dates? I know you toured with Josh this past year. Are you going to try to do some more dates, hopefully, in the future? Is that even in the thought process?
You know, because I spent most of my winter last year making the Christmas record, and I toured all summer, and I'm doing a bunch of one-offs this fall. Basically, I've got the promotion of the Christmas record.
Yeah.
I need to write a new one.
Yeah.
So that's what's going to happen next year.
Come on, let's work on that. Get on that.
I know, and yeah, there's that, and there's, you know, I've got a reno to do.
You're busy. You're a little busy.
I'm busy. I have a school to run. I have two daughters. Yeah, so I've got a lot of balls up in the air, but it's fun and exciting.
Well, you're
not boring, that's for sure.
Exactly. You're an expert juggler, clearly. So thank you so much for doing this, and I promised that I wouldn't take more than 10 minutes, and I think we're at 10 minutes, so I feel
awesome.
Bad already.
Oh, good heavens, don't feel bad. Thank you for the interview.
Well, have a lovely holiday season, and have fun at the parade on Thanksgiving.
Thank you. I will, and I'm so excited for a big turkey dinner afterwards.
All right. Thank you so much, Sarah. This has been great, all right?
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye, Keith.
Of winter time when all the birds had fled, then mighty.
Thank you again, Sarah. Wonderland is out now and features Sarah's renditions of classics like Let It Snow, White Christmas, and Winter Wonderland. And make sure to watch her perform on the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which will air on NBC at 9 a.m. this Thursday, Thanksgiving Day. Also performing, by the way, on the parade.
A whole mess of people.
Brett Eldridge. Dea. Yes, former podcast.
Yes.
Friend of the podcast,
Fitz Dea. Fitz and the Tantrums.
Friend
also,
of the podcast, Fitz and the Tantrums.
Kelsey Ballerini, Maddie and Tay.
The Muppets, Tony Bennett.
Grace VanderWaal.
Yeah.
She has a project coming out next, like an EP coming out in December.
Oh, that's right. From
America's Got Talent.
Yes. Oh, America's Got Talent. Mm-hmm. I thought she was in The Voice. I spaced out. Well, now it's time for our chart stat of the week.
Okay.
Now, in the normal spot of the show.
Yes. You're not tricking me with it this time.
Well, when I was perusing some of Sarah McLachlan's chart history, I was reminded that she charted some hits on our dance club songs chart, believe it or not. And that's not a chart that you expect to see Sarah McLachlan on.
No.
In fact, she's had 5 top 10 songs on that tally, including a number one, Silence 2004 with Delirium.
I 100% remember that.
See?
Remix, yes.
So I thought I would look at some other unlikely chart appearances.
Yes.
Cher and Stevie Nicks both charted on the Hot Country Songs chart. Cher with It's Too Late to Love Me Now in 1979. It reached to number 87, back when the chart was, I think, 100 positions deep.
Okay.
Believe it or not. And Stevie Nicks hit the chart with After the Glitter Fades from her Belladonna album back in 1982, and it reached number 70.
Mm.
Yeah. Madonna, who you think of as the queen of pop, notched 15 hits on the Hot R&B Hip Hop Songs chart, including one top 10, Like a Virgin.
Wow, that was classified as R&B at the time?
Yeah, well, a lot of R&B radio stations would play her songs.
Wow.
Yeah. Robert Downey Jr., the actor, of course, from Iron Man, has charted on our adult contemporary chart with a song called Man Like Me. It reached number 39.
Well, you know, he was at the AMAs last night, and he introduced Sting for his, I'm not sure exactly what that was called.
His
award?
Yep.
Okay. Podcast guest Sting. And they introduced it with a little clip of Robert Downey Jr. and Sting singing together on stage. It was a video that went viral a few years back. And yeah, so he has a lovely voice, Robert Downey Jr.
Well, this is from his, I believe it was classified as his debut studio album called The Futurist back in 2004. Another actor, of course, Anna Kendrick, who we know from Pitch Perfect, had a number one hit on the adult contemporary chart with Cups from the movie Pitch Perfect. Which also reached number 6 on the Billboard Hot 100. So
she spoke about that on Fresh Air, actually, on NPR.
Oh, really?
And she was just saying how she felt sort of guilty that, like, all these artists who, like, are, like, trying their whole life to, like, get a number one hit, and she just, like, does this dumb, you know, cup choreography in a movie, and all of a sudden it's just, like, number one. She was like, it just seems wrong.
It's funny how hits work.
Indeed.
Lots of flukes. So there you have it. Just a few fun and surprising chart appearances to ponder. From Sarah McLachlan on the dance floor to Cher on the country chart. All right, so I think that's the end of our show.
All right.
Hope everyone has a lovely Thanksgiving if you celebrate the holiday. And any parting words here, Katie?
Well, it feels like one of these crazy songs we should go out on, because I don't know all of these, like, you know, Cher Country, I don't know, for instance. What would be a good one?
You know, I'm not familiar with that Cher song either.
Should
we go out
we're
on
we're about to get familiar with it.
Well, here's Cher's It's Too Late to Love Me Now, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
It's too late to love me now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.